Okay, we are playing around with the colors right now. This is not my final setup, guys. Let's just do this like
Orange, maybe?
so it's not mounted. I don't know if you guys can see that or not, but okay. I don't think we should match, but we're gonna go ahead and match. Oh. So this episode is one that I got a suggestion for. The message exactly was, I saw you talk about identity and work. Maybe you could discuss the topic of grieving the job you desperately wanted and how that affects an individual's confidence and how they should move forward. It's multi-layered, and I think it goes beyond just grieving the job that you wanted. I think grief is such a beautiful word that this person used because it truly is grief, grief, grief of something that you wanted, but you couldn't have, right? Or you shouldn't have, or the world just decided wasn't for you. And the fact that it's connected with identity, because we define ourselves by what we do. I think it's multiple parts. Grieving something that you wanted and the confidence nudge that it does to you. And what do you do moving forward? Right? So if we break it down in terms of identity and work and why we feel that our work is tied toward identity, you introduce yourself as I am so and so and I do this. It's normal to say, hey, I do one, two, three, but I think that we need to all, as a world, we need to slow down on doing that because we are so much more than what we do. And I think that that's something that we have to remind ourselves of is when we choose a career, when we choose a job, when we choose an education path, we are choosing something that is a reflection of a part of our identity. We are not choosing something that defines our identity. And I think when you're young, especially when you're starting off, that's not something that's very clear to us. And so that's something that I think we need to first define career path. There is something within you, I guarantee every single one of you, that has nothing to do with the actual career path. For me, it was learning something and teaching that thing. That was something that I knew. The reason that I wanted to go into medicine was because I enjoyed science. It was because I enjoyed teaching, and it was because I enjoyed being around people. I'm a very social person. I'm what they call like an introverted extrovert. I enjoyed caretaking. So those are parts of myself that no matter what happens with my career, I know those are not going away. Those are part of my identity. And I think that's very hard to come to that conclusion when you're young and when you're in the thick of it. But I want you to think about that. I want people to remember that just because that part that you thought was going to define you is gone or was a no, or maybe life has happened in a way. Let's say that you got accepted into a program or you got the job, and something else happened in your life that required you to pivot. You desperately wanted this. You desperately felt like you needed this in your life. You are still you, the caretaker, the artist, the creative. You just have to now pivot and channel that into something else. When I didn't get into medicine the way that I thought I wanted to get into it right away, I was sad. I was grieving. I felt like there was a death in my life because this was the thing that I wanted most. And I would say, I don't think the worst death that I experienced when it came to this topic happened the first time I got rejected from medical school. I got rejected from medical school when I first applied right out of undergrad. If you do not apply broadly, you probably are not going to get in. And so that was the first rejection. That rejection was easy to navigate, but it was different to navigate than the second time that I got rejected. It was sad, wasn't happy, obviously, but it was something that I was mentally prepared for. I think a big portion, and I don't know if people listening will feel this, and it depends on where you are kind of in your life. When you graduate your bachelor's degree or your undergrad, or you complete a chapter that is meant to lead to another chapter. When you graduate high school, for example, and you move on to college, that in-between portion, if you're not 100% solid on what the next step is, maybe you're not sure if you want to go to university. Maybe you're not sure if you want to go to a technical school. Maybe you're not sure if you want to do X, Y, and Z, right? There is that period of, I consider it free fall. That's kind of how I feel, is where you feel like the ground is ripped from underneath you and you don't know where you're going and there's no safety net, right? High school is a safety net. That period of time that you're in school, you know exactly what's happening next period. You get your schedule at the beginning of the semester done. There's a manual. We have to understand that when that manual is stripped from us, you start to feel an identity crisis in quotes at each of these time points. And it's not because it truly is a problem. It's because now you have freedom. Now you have a space in time for you to think. Somebody else is not deciding. There is not a plan. You have to make choices, and there are consequences to the choices that you make at that point, but you are free to make those choices. And that's scary. That's very scary. And I think that's also where the grief comes into play when things don't happen the way that you think they're supposed to happen. A job that we think is guaranteed to us, it becomes a part of you. A career that you think is guaranteed to you becomes a part of you. And when it's gone, it's like something died. So back to kind of where I had those periods of times. When I graduated and I didn't get into medical school, and I was working a job that I enjoyed, but I knew it wasn't a long-term career. And I had never not been in school. I didn't know who Tamia was if she wasn't turning in assignments, if she wasn't being graded, if somebody wasn't giving me a gold star. I think that's something else that we're not conscious of. And I can say that subconsciously and retroactively. Jobs, school, all of the things that we are graded on, those give us validation and those give us purpose. And those give us a metric by which to check our day-to-day off. So that period of time, I was like, oh no, I'm not in school anymore. I know that I'm not going to med school next year. And this job is also not permanent. So what am I doing? I didn't know how to sit. So what did I do? First thing I did, okay, I'm going to go to get my master's. Why? I was in a position in my life where I could have paused. I could have explored other things that I enjoyed. I knew from day one, I wasn't going to enjoy this master's. I knew it. But I said, you know what? This master's is what most people with an MD go back to get. I like research. So I said, okay, this is great. This is online. This enables me to be able to take on something else that gives me validation, right? A full-time job that also allows me to grow, which I don't regret that. And I don't regret the online thing. But that was how I also got into the niche that I'm in right now, because my advisor in my master's program, I later found out he was leaving the next semester. That's why he didn't really care what I was doing. He gave me free rein to do whatever I wanted for the project. And so when I suggested something in oncology that I'm not sure how that checked off the epidemiology bucket, but he said it did and I went with it. That was how I walked into my PI's office at the time. It was 6 months into working with him. And I said, hey, can you sign this promotion packet? He said, sure. And I said, hey, John, do you have a project? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, I need to do my thesis in something and I kind of want to do it in this. And he was like, sure, we can find something. And then he's like, actually, I was thinking of this, blah, 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 blah. You want to make a database and get the data? I was like, sounds good. And that was how my thesis got planned. And that's how my love for neuroendocrine started. Your purpose shifts and the job that you think you wanted or that you do want, right? Because I never changed my mind at any point in this game on the fact that I did want medical school. Everything is going to happen how it's meant to happen. And what gave me comfort in the no's along the way was that no wasn't personal. When you get rejected from a job, you should reflect and go back and say, did I do something that caused this outcome? Maybe I didn't get the grades I needed to get into this program. Maybe I didn't study hard enough. Once you're honest with yourself, and that's hard, it's very hard, especially when you are very passionate about something and you think that you're doing your best, but you could have not gone wrong. There are only so many seats. There are only so many jobs. For you to get a yes for something, a no has to be told to somebody else. And the reverse is true. It doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It doesn't mean that you should feel any less confident. You evolve and you grow and you develop as a person and you meet people along the way that when you look back, had your life gone a certain way, all the things that now came forward wouldn't have happened, right? Think of those episodes of whatever TV show or those books that are written in two storylines where this could have happened or that, and this is how my trajectory would have turned out. Life is the same way. And so if you get comfortable going back and saying, okay, I am confident that I gave this my all and it didn't happen, that's okay. Pivot. Take the time to be sad. I think grief looks different, and remember that it's not linear. You can grieve the loss of things years later, months later, times that don't make any sense. And that's usually when the flashes happen. I remember speaking to a friend one time, and I was at a very, very low point. I had taken 3 months off from work to study for the MCAT. I had a very, very, very rocky year. That year, in retrospect, was the worst possible year for me to have invested in the MCAT. But in my head, at the time, I said, because I made these decisions mainly to allow me to put my all into studying, I have to take this exam right now and I have to apply this cycle and I have to do this right now. And so I put that pressure on myself. Every day I was opening up the books and I was sitting in front of those books and staring at them and writing, taking notes. None of it was sticking. But I thought because I went through the motions for 3 months that I had given it my all. I took the exam. I did what I needed to do. Got my scores back. They weren't great. I applied anyways. Again, not a great decision, but I figured if I applied broadly enough and I had a CV that would rival, I'm not saying this to be cocky, I have and had a CV that would rival most fellows. So I figured it'll work out. It has to work out somewhere. I spent $30,000 in applications. So you can imagine how many schools I applied to, EO, MD, and I didn't get in. I was talking to a friend and I said, I feel like I am at rock bottom and I just don't know what way is up. And my friend said, I don't believe in rock bottom. Okay, what does that mean? Things can get worse or things can get better. And I swear that pushed me to just I was fine. I was genuinely fine after that statement. Not fine in the sense that I wasn't sad anymore, not fine in the sense that I didn't feel like everything was collapsing around me, but in the sense that I was like, okay, it's going to be okay. Because you're right, it can get worse or it can get better. That doesn't mean that you are going to get exactly what you wanted. I was at an all-time low at the time. I was fine at work because that anything patient related to me was priority. But when it came to anything that didn't affect my patients, I did not have the capacity to do 110% like I usually was. So I wasn't living up to Tamia's standards. I set those standards. Nobody said you have to achieve this or else you are a failure. So why is that affecting our confidence? I am going through a million and one things, but I'm still showing up for my patients every single day. I am still getting the work done. I may not be going above and beyond my definition of going above and beyond, but we're human beings. We're not robots. And nothing that has to do with a material thing should ever shake your confidence in yourself. As long as you know that you showed up and you did your part, what is there to say that you don't deserve to feel okay? You shouldn't have to grieve something until you reach it, right? That's not how grief works, in my opinion. And that's not how sadness works. And that's also not how moving on from something works. When you don't get a job that you worked hard for, all right, move on. What's next? Then, but we got to look back and say, why am I putting so much energy and so much weight on this thing that it doesn't define me? This is where the moving forward part comes into play. For example, and I started working in oncology in 2016, and I loved it. I fell in love with it. I was able to take care of my patients. I was able to teach. I was able to use my project management skills. I was able to use a lot of skills that I had satisfaction in seeing things go through. There's a process that needed improvement. I was able to implement that, see the outcome of that, be happy that I affected either a department or a patient's flow or whatever. I was able to do all of that and feel good about it. And I remember talking to the first person that hired me, and I told her a few months in, I said, I'm scared because I really enjoy what I'm doing. And I'm worried that I'm not going to want to go into medicine in the same way that I thought I did. And I spent, I would say, the next 4 or 5 years trying to convince myself that I didn't want to go into medicine the way that I thought I wanted to go into it. And that obviously didn't work. Just fell in love with it more and more and more for different reasons, not for the same reasons when I started. Some of the reasons changed over time. But I remember right after I graduated with my master's, and I said, okay, I'm going to take the MCAT and I'm going to apply. And I took the MCAT and I didn't apply. I filled out the application. I prepped all my secondaries. I had everything ready to go and I didn't hit submit. And I was so embarrassed. I didn't tell my parents for almost a year, the entire cycle. That ate me alive for that whole cycle. I didn't tell them. And when they found out that I didn't apply because they were waiting for a response, I was like, I'm not going to lie, I didn't apply. They were hurt that I couldn't tell them. I didn't go through with it because it wasn't the time. I wasn't ready to do that. But I was tired, I was exhausted, and I felt like I had failed them. And I put myself through this torture chamber for a whole year of like not sharing with the people around me that, hey, by the way, there's actually no chance I'm getting in because I didn't even hit submit. But in that time, as things were going on, I realized that I could channel the things that I loved in different ways. And so that started to teach me that, okay, you can do this. And there is an out. There is another way forward in this world that doesn't include necessarily the same plan that you had for yourself 5, 10, 15 years ago, whatever that may be. Life goes on, years pass. Eventually, I apply again. That was the time that I was at rock bottom. And after that, I realized that I did not have a balance in my life. I think that this is how you move forward. At least for me, this is what I've realized is the way to not ever get in that trap of like severe grief for something like this that doesn't happen, a job, an education milestone, honestly, even a delay in a day. When I tell you that this mentality that I'm about to kind of talk about has shifted my perspective in ways that I couldn't explain. I don't know how to put into words the sense of relief that I've had over the past few years since adopting this thought process behind life. Once I accepted one, that anything that's meant for me will not pass me, and anything that is meant for somebody else, I cannot take. And it took a long time for me to get to this point. But once I got to that point, one, there was a sense of relief because not as a crutch in terms of like, oh, I can just do the bare minimum. I still have to put my all into everything. I still have to hold myself accountable for every application and every job interview and every endeavor that I put my heart and soul into. If I do my part and it doesn't work out, I believe strongly that there's a reason that that happened and it just wasn't meant to be. But my self-reflection portion is, did I actually put my all in, right? The other thing that I've adopted is you need a balance. Life is not all the goal that we're trying to achieve. You can't drop everything in your life to work towards one thing, because if that one thing doesn't work out for whatever reason, what's left? Who's left? You've now ruined relationships, probably. You can't just clock out of being a sister and a daughter or a mother or a spouse or a friend, or you can't just clock out because you're working towards something. Not permanently anyways. You can be like, listen, I need this week. I need this weekend. I need to be out. Your health can't be a side gig. Exercise, eating healthy, getting out in the sun, getting real air on us. Sleep. I don't compromise on sleep anymore. That the world could be ending when it comes to school, work, whatever. I'm sleeping. I used to pull all-nighters for weeks on end. There were weeks that I probably slept a total of 2 or 3 hours, and I'm not exaggerating that, I swear to God. You get to a point of delirium when you don't sleep that you can keep going without sleep, and it's actually insane. I did that for a long time to do what? The world? Not going to stop spinning. Spending time with people that you love. Being present and being flexible. Being able to, okay, somebody's having a baby this week unexpectedly, I can pivot. I've showed up to work and I've had days where I get a call first thing when I get to the office. So-and-so's in crisis, a friend, a family member, or whatever. I have set my life up at this point to be able to say, okay, time out. What is most important right now? Where do I have to be? Where do I need to be? And where do I want to be? There's a lot of layers to this. Everybody has to define this for themselves. I'm not saying that you always have to drop everything to go help somebody else. Not what I'm saying at all. There are certain times that you can't turn the clock back and get a redo. If you are in a position where something is priority over something else, you need to get to a point in your executive functioning to be able to time out and within a few minutes make a decision and be able to reshift the day. In order for you to get to that point, you have to have set your life up in a way that you are pretty organized, that your work is structured enough that somebody can come in and pick up without things falling through the crack. When you've built your life up in a way that you have these layers of protection. If I've done the work relationship-wise with my siblings, kids, spouse, parents, I've invested the time into these relationships to make sure that they are solid. When I can't show up at certain times or when I'm too busy, they're not going to question the fact that I am not present right now because I've built that communication. I've built a strong enough foundation that I have that leeway to now pivot when things go bad. And I don't go through that period of intense grief because I no longer have a reason to feel like something bad and detrimental has happened. Grief, in my opinion, is something that should be reserved for things that are truly, truly outside of our control and that are detrimental. For me, that's the word grief. And that's the feeling, that feeling of anger, resentment, that depression, that should be reserved for things like that, that are completely, completely detrimental and out of my control, a death. It's normal, I think, to feel all of those things. But for me, what worked was recognizing that that intense grief was, one, not something I ever wanted to feel again. So I would say that, honestly, the how you move forward is you decide, you reflect, and you really think, am I not getting this because I don't want it, because I'm not putting enough into it? And if the answer is I'm not putting enough into it, but I still want it, do the work. If the answer is I'm not getting it because I actually don't want it, look at what drove you to that thing to begin with. If it was I love teaching because I like educating, there's 100 million ways probably to educate that don't necessarily have to do with teaching in a classroom. Look at the things that make you love the things that you love and make you love the career path that you think you're choosing, and realize that there's so many ways to do so many good things in the world. Not once in my life, not once would I have envisioned that my life would be heading in the direction that it's heading right now. Never, never. There's good and bad with that. There's good and bad with everything. Accept it, move forward, and you find ways to find little things that keep you going, and understand also that life's not all supposed to be super fun. Unfortunately, that wasn't in the guarantee when we were born. I realize that I spoke generally about a lot of things. I didn't give a lot of details, but it's intentional. I'm hoping that this resonates with the masses and not a specific niche. Obviously, I'm speaking from a specific niche, and I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you keep on keeping on. Just know that you're doing your best, and some days your best is all that you have, and some days just enough is all that you've got, and some days nothing. Okay, have a great night, day, whatever, whenever you're listening to this. If you're not participating in Matcha Macchiato Mondays, please do. And if you want to see more or less of me solo, let me know. I will see you guys soon. Bye, guys.